Father, we give you thanks for this morning to be together so far. What a joy it's been. What an honor to be in your presence. To set time out of the beginning part of the first day of our week to give you praise and to worship you. Then to come under your instruction, your teaching, submitting once again to the authority of your scriptures. We thank you. Father, as we present offerings, God, we pray that you would use them in great ways and multiply it. God, for those of us who have responsibility over it, I pray you would help us to handle it correctly and wisely, that we'd be in step with what it is that you want to do and not just trying to twist your arm to do the things we want. Father, we pray that now as we open your word, that you would be the one that speaks to us. Holy Spirit, you would keep us teachable and humble to receive your instruction and then give us, I pray, God, I beg you, the grace necessary to live out what it looks like to be a citizen of your kingdom and not just of our own. And so we commit this time to you. Help us to engage with you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone who agrees says, amen. I wonder if these words rang out over and over and over through Mary's mind as she traveled for 90 miles by foot. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Gabriel stands before her and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This child that she was pregnant with, and yet she'd never known a man, according to the way the Bible refers to that statement. She hadn't had sex with Joseph. They weren't married yet. And yet this is what God had said. And this is a fulfillment of the promise that was coming, the prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9. And so when she heard this, can you imagine every emotion going through her body, every thought in her mind? The first thing she thought is, I gotta get out of here and I gotta go to Elizabeth's house. This is her cousin. I wonder if when she got to mile 3, if she started thinking through that. And then she thought about the weight of it. I wonder if she started to giggle, going, are you kidding me? Like, this is really happening. And then she remembered that Elizabeth was pregnant, and maybe that made her even more excited because Elizabeth wasn't supposed to have any babies now. I mean, she's barren. She was, as the scriptures say, I think Zachariah says that he was old and she was advanced in years. That is not fair. She's advanced in years, unable to have children. There she is pregnant, always wanting to have a son, always wanting to have a baby. Friends, if you don't see the promise of God now, wait, because he never fails on his promises, ever. Guys, we have to remember the people of Israel. And we'll get into that in just a second as we get into Exodus. They waited. They were in slavery for 400 years plus. And yet God knew it was gonna happen. It was part of the plan of God that there were people who were in that time period that all that they knew was the slavery that they had to go through, that they had to endure, and yet all of this was according to what God was going to do. But he was not going to fail his promises, and friends, he will not start now. Mile 17. And then I wonder, she thought through everything she just heard, and then I wonder if fear came upon her. Because no one's gonna believe this story. Nobody. Joseph's not gonna believe it. The community, this small little podunk 40 square acre town of Nazareth, they're not gonna believe it. And so I wonder if fear struck her. And I wonder if on that walk at mile 17 or mile 18 or mile 19, she just started to say these words that she said before the angel Gabriel. I wonder if she just began to say again, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And followers of Jesus, should this not be our prayer every day? Every moment of every day, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be according to your word." Whatever it is that you want, God, that's what I want. I am your servant. That God, you don't exist so that I have everything that I want. I am created to bring you glory. And I'm in fellowship with you for my good. And friends, it is true, we are children of God. Yes, we are part of it. We are sons and daughters of the King, but we are also still servants of him. Mile after mile after mile after mile, 90 miles by foot. Doesn't say that she traveled with anyone. This wasn't the safest thing to do, but she had to go. And you sit there and go, yeah, that's not very safe. Remember, she's carrying the Messiah. I'm pretty sure that in this moment, she is the safest person on the planet. That God himself is going to make sure that everything will work out exactly how it needs to as she carries the Son of God. And then in verse 40 of Luke 1, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And I love that statement and I never thought of it until I was studying it for this week. Friends, the first person to declare the lordship of Jesus was not Peter. The first one to declare his lordship was Elizabeth. While Jesus was still in the womb, Elizabeth was declaring his lordship. It's like, who am I that I get to be in the presence? Like, in you is my Lord. It's a reminder to me, ladies, you have a purpose and a plan that God has for you. Engage it, enjoy it. He's called you. I love that Elizabeth is just so full of joy, and so is the baby inside of her. John is inside of her. He leaps for joy. And moms, you sit there and go, I know what that feels like. It's when they kick your bladder. Now, whatever it is, like the baby leaps inside and from the womb, this baby is celebrating the coming of the Lord. Verse 44, and behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And after that reaction of Elizabeth, then Mary, who I believe, filled by the Holy Spirit, sang this song or wrote these words or came up with this poem, however you want to think of it, is known as the Magnificat. How many of you guys have at least heard the word the Magnificat? Do you know what it means? It means magnify. So in all these emotions that are going through her mind, the thing that she goes to is what? Worship. I'm going to magnify the Lord. Like all these uncertainties that are coming, I'm going to magnify the Lord. All the what ifs that aren't answered, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm just gonna bring him worship. Yes, I'm in fear and I'm terrified of what's to come and I don't know what's gonna happen, but I'm gonna magnify the Lord. And who am I that I would be considered to give him this amazing, sacred role? Oh, I'm gonna magnify the Lord. And it's thought of by so many people that this is the most impressive statement or poem or artistic work ever. As she spoke these words, and she started off by saying this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." It was not, "God, why are you making this happen? Why are you letting this happen?" It was, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul rejoices in God, my Savior." Like, that's where she starts. Followers of Jesus, this is where we're supposed to start. No matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, we still go to worship. And the only way that we can do that is we actually believe. We believe that God is sovereign. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. God will fulfill his promise. When we don't see the end that we want, God is sitting there going, "I'm not done with it yet. Trust me. Hang with me. Walk with me. Be with me. And watch me every day do little by little by little to fulfill my great purpose that you never thought coming." Because as much as we think that God is about us and exists for us, he is about himself to bring himself glory, that people would see him. Friends, you realize even the good works that we do, the purpose behind them are to do what? That people would see our good works and do what? And give praise and glory to our Father who's in heaven. Mary calls God Savior. And the way that it's worded means that she had this intimate relationship with him. This was just not a statement of, "I believe this to be about God." It was, "I believe this to be about you because I know you." Friends, there are times where I'll have conversations with people and I'll ask them, "Hey, tell me how you came to Christ and who's Jesus?" And I'll just, and it's not like the first thing I say. I try to like meet my way right in the middle of it, but I'll ask the question, it comes up, and sometimes I'll hear like, oh, he's the Lord. I believe he's God. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But the thing that I want to hear most of all is this. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. It's personal. It's intimate. I've received him. I don't just believe about him. There's such a difference there, friends. Friends, this goes back to what Gabriel said to her. Listen, Gabriel, the angel said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Greetings, O favored one. And here's what I'm starting to think. And maybe for some of you, you cannot imagine God saying those same things. You can't imagine him saying that exact same thing to you, because that's Mary. That's the mother of Jesus. Friends, I gotta be honest. Any group or any person who will elevate Mary above any other human being on the planet is mistaken, according to the scripture. I don't talk to her. And the thing is, she doesn't want me to. That's not how it works. I speak to God. She calls herself the servant of the Lord. She's known to be blessed, but follower of Jesus, let me remind you, so are you. She's thought of as being the one favored. Guys, that's not automatically equal to favorite. She's favored by the Lord. Follower of Jesus, so are you. You're favored. Like when he looks on you, he's like, I love them. I want to bestow, I want to give them my favor. It's mind-blowing when we stop and just sit and soak in what the scriptures teach us about the favor and the character and the beauty of God. In other words, as we look at how she starts, hope brings about worship of the God of hope. There's this hope that she has, and it brings about this worship of the God of hope. Hope. There's no hope outside of Jesus, friends. It all starts with him. I think there's four things that we notice after this of what Mary focuses in on. I'm going to try to go as quick as I can. I'm just going to run through them, which is the thing you're not supposed to do as a speaker. Good thing I'm not a speaker. I'm just a teacher of the Bible. I've always heard the pros say, don't do this. But now those of you who fall asleep during the message, and I see you, you can write it down. I'm just joking. You can totally fall asleep. If my voice soothes you, praise the Lord. So just write these down. Here's the first one. She notices what God has done for her. It's personal. The second, who God is. The third, what God has done overall. The fourth, and how she will be blessed. So we go to the first one, what God had done for her. Back to verse 48, the first part of verse 48. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. He's looked upon my place. Guys, she's not known for coming from wealth. She lived in poverty. Jesus, when he was born, grew up in poverty. And she's like, he's looked upon my humble estate, and he's let me be the mother of the Messiah. Just this humble reception of what it is that God had planned. When I mentioned, I said, well, go to Exodus. Look, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn there, you can, but it'll be up on the screen. Exodus chapter 2, 23 to 24. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Guys, I want you to make sure that you hear these things. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. When you cry out for help, God hears you. Every word, every syllable, every letter, every groan that has no letter ascribed to it, because you just can't get the words. It's just so painful. You're just wondering where he's at. He hears every single one of them. At no point has he lost attention on you. And I ask this question not for a show of hands, but to just ask and to make sure, how many of you are in a season of groaning and crying out? And I want to remind you, he hears and he knows, he sees, he gets it. No point has he ever said, I'm too busy. Friends, I'm so thankful that God is eternal, that God is limitless in power, that God is everywhere all at the same time, not bound by time. So when I speak to him, At the same time that Carol Whaley's speaking to him, we have his undivided attention individually. We can speak to him. He hears every single thing. And then as he starts to hear me say, in Jesus' name, he's like, no, 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 tell me more. I want to keep hearing. Come on, tell me. That's the favor of the Lord, friends. Every groan. Church, I want you to understand this. He knows every single thing. He hears every single thing. He sees every single thing you're facing and going through. He sees what's coming that you haven't even seen yet. He knows how long we'll struggle, how long we'll be persecuted. He knows how long we'll go through trials and affliction. He knows how long, and the reason it stops at any moment is because God is sovereign and says no more. Because he will fulfill his great purpose in our suffering. And so we hold on to that hope. When he doesn't change it when we've asked, we hold on to the hope. No, okay, God, you haven't said yes. And so you've either said wait or no. And in that, my soul magnifies the Lord. Because you have been good to me, and I know you will continue to be good to me. And friends, he remembers it all. And God's at work, and all these truths should point us to this hope. Hope is this, not, I hope he comes through. No, I know he'll come through. I'm certain he'll come through. I know with all the questions, I don't have to have all the answers. He already has them. I just have to what? Submit, abide, walk with, wait upon. He will provide every single thing as we continue to go. Moves to who God is. Verses 49 to 50, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Do you see the attributes of God that are referred to there? Mighty. Guys, everything God wants to do, he will do, and he doesn't need permission. He will move. Guys, the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem is because God moved everyone on the planet to be counted from where they were born. He moved the whole Roman Empire, says, go home and be counted. God does what he wants, when he wants, not asking for permission. When you're king, you don't have to. He's also caring. He's holy. He's so set apart and so different than us. He's merciful. He's faithful and eternal. Where'd I get that? Because it's that phrase that's used from generation to generation, from generation to generation. We hold on to those things from generation to generation. He's faithful, not just for this generation or the past generation, for all generations. Because he doesn't stop. He doesn't relent. He never tires. He never slumbers. At some point today, I challenge, I invite you, just get alone with God, grab a pen and a journal, and just write down the attributes of God that come to your mind as an act of worship before him. I don't have time to read through it now, but I invite you to read through Psalm 103, verses 2 to 14 sometime today before you go to sleep and look at all the attributes of God. And realize that those attributes of God point us to who he really is, and that God is for us, not against us. We go from that to what God has done. Just overall, look at what he's done, verse 51 to 55. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Did you notice what it is that God did? He has done this. He has done this. All these things were happening when Mary had no clue. God is working all over the place. But friends, silent night. Maybe we can live in that as well. Holy night, all is calm. Oh, wouldn't that be beautiful? If we could rest in the calmness of the sovereignty. And the last one, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. Look at what Mary says in verse 40 again. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Followers of Jesus, I want us to say the same thing. Because I want to be like Mary? No, because the scriptures teach us that we're blessed. How do I know? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Friends, it's not just the select few who get to be the saints or the blessed. Followers of Jesus, as weird as this sounds, you are a saint before the Father because he has made you such. I don't think I've done enough. You haven't. Aren't you supposed to do miracles? Nope. God does miracles. It's all him. There's no pressure. You receive it. It's beautiful. You're blessed. You're a saint. Your identity changes from sinner to child of God, and yet we still fight our flesh, true? But to God, we are seen as holy as Jesus is because of God. We're blessed. Something that's been read for thousands of years, it comes from our scriptures, one of the oldest things that's ever recorded, and I'm so thankful that we're still blessed by it. It's from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. Those of you who brought them to church, I'm sure that you heard it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We pray that blessing over you this morning. And we'll sing that at the end of the service. And as we sing that, I want you to remember, this is the blessing of the Lord. And then as that last verse, verse 56, it almost sounds like it's just part of a narrative, but it's not. Listen, and Mary remained with her about 3 months, pretty much there to see the birth of John, and then returned to her home. And this is why this part stood out to me. I trust that it's the Holy Spirit revealing it. It prepares us to go back and face what we still have coming with hope. I have to go back and deal with my stuff. I don't know how Joseph's going to respond. I don't know if they're going to stone me. My soul magnifies the Lord. And she goes back toward, not away from, but toward the life that God has called her to, blessed her with. And friends, I can tell you, I can promise you the same thing for you. We have these mountaintop experiences with the Lord. Yes, enjoy them. And then when you go back to what it is that you have to face and deal with, I promise you this, you're blessed. You're blessed. Mary did it, we do it. We go back to the calling, and we trust God in all of it, and we see him as the God of hope. As we close, the worship team will come up during this time. Would you take a look at the screen as we watch this closing video?
And she called me the mother of her Lord. And we were laughing and crying together, and it was all too much, and words of praise just burst out of me.
Please tell me I'm about to hear them.
You're going to write them down and deliver them to Luke. The materials are here. I trust you to get them right and to keep it safe and to get it to Luke. Kept it all to myself. As you know, I like to treasure things in my heart. I was shy, and it felt personal between God and me. But I wish I would have shared it with Joseph. And people must know. These felt like God's words as much as my own. I can't explain it, but they did. And people must know.
I'm ready.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For behold, from now on, generations will call me blessed. And he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.
Jesus' arrival brings. I'd like to read Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And then in verse 6 and 7 it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We're about to sing a song called The Blessing. It's that benediction. And as we just thinking through the lyrics of this song and some of the other songs that we've sung today, it's music is such a beautiful gift, a way to take thoughts with us that stick with us in a different way than just hearing them spoken or reading them. So some of the lyrics that we've already sung today, we sang, the wind is strong and the waters deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas because your love never fails. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The book of Hebrews says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. So in the midst of those waves and the ocean raging and whatever that means metaphorically in our lives or in the world, our hope in the Lord is our anchor. We sang, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. When we walked in darkness, we've seen a great light. That's Jesus coming to earth to live amongst us. And then he lives in us. We sang, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoicing. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. All the imagery of being in such darkness and despair. And then Jesus came and everything changed. We're about to sing, "May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you?" That's our hope. God is for us. God is with us. Even when there's turmoil and conflict throughout the world or in our own lives, we hold on to that hope that God knows the beginning and God knows the end and He knows everything in the middle. He's with us every step of the way. So we thank you, Jesus, for coming to us, for being Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for being our hope. Thank you for being our anchor. We pray as we go throughout this week that we will meditate on the miracle that is the incarnation, and that we will hold on to that hope. And throughout this entire season and throughout our lives, around us, the people in our lives that you've placed.